Okay, turn your Bible with me to Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter 34. I want all of you to put a thinking cap on and come up with an answer of the greatest threat to the church. Come on, think about it. Greatest threat, huh? Apathy, okay. Pride. Complacency. Apostasy. How about communism? How about Satan and his cohort? How about Islam? How about socialism? Yeah. How about all above?
All the above.
Yeah, all the above. In my opinion, you guys are pinpointed quite well. In my opinion, whenever there is a physical persecution against Christianity, the number of those who proclaim the Christian will go down, will decrease, because none of them will pretend to be a Christian when there is a persecution against Christianity. However, the depth and the purity of our faith will increase. Would you agree? Yeah. And again, in my opinion, the greatest threat against church is humanism. That includes a lot of elements you guys mentioned. The idea of humanism officially started during the Renaissance time. The humanism brought the light to the so-called dark period, dark age of the medieval period, and encouraged people to rediscover some great literature of the antiquity of Greece and Rome. Humanism brought a lot of good to the civilization, but it comes with many subtle dangers that people don't realize. Celebrating human capabilities such as learning and enlightenment, it can blind us to our need for God. And becoming like a man is the measure of all things. And it praises what the view as the indomitable and unconquerable nature of human spirit. That means leaving very little room for the reliance on God. They no longer seek God, but they somehow they think that human can do anything. One good example is, some of you guys may have seen this movie, Armageddon. Have you ever seen the movie Armageddon, Bruce Willis? It looks great. There is a meteor coming to destroy on the way past to the destruction of the earth. Not one person, you don't see somebody praying. Well, there are those people who are praying, but it's all other religions, so-called. But there's not one person who is talking about praying to in the name of Jesus Christ. But these people who were sent by NASA destroyed this meteor right before it destroyed the earth. Humanism. Human can do all things. So where is there room for God's omniscience and God's omnipotent power? None. Surprisingly, humanism even slipped into the church from the 1980s and 1990s. And you may say, well, why 1980s? During the 60s and 70s, there was a new movement called the Jesus Movement. After that, of course, Satan had to get into the church. Since it is going so well, it got into the church and add the humanism into Christianity. You see, the people think that they are doing something for God instead of what God has done for them. They forget about that, but they say, well, I go to church Sunday and midweek service, and every time there is a door open, and they give up things, and they even try to be perfect. In short, they adopt the mentality, this is a work. instead of believing God, and lose the sight of gospel, it changed the focal point from God to human. And instead of relying on the omniscient, omnipotent, almighty God, church leaders talk about and think about their congregation's acceptability of them more. Rather than pleasing the Lord with the purity and holiness in our heart and lives, our hearts are getting filled with all the other things that have nothing to do with the glory of God by inserting humanism into Christianity. There shouldn't be anything that added on to Christianity. It is all about God, not about human. Are you with me on that? I have this song list that we used to use here. I put it in the alphabetical order. Guess which alphabet that start with all the song names? There's one letter that has more songs in that category than any other song name. I worship you, I adore you, all of that start with the I. Even the worship song, somehow they think that it has something to do with us. Why don't we just praise God? It's not that God is special because I worship Him. God is special before I was born. God is special before you even existed. Am I making sense? We don't have to worship Him, praise Him to make Him special. We just acknowledge He is special. To please themselves over God, you have to do something. To ignore what the Lord wants them to do and to whatever they want, they all have to do one thing first. Guess what that is? Ignore, discard the Word of God. Once you do ignore the Bible, you can make anything you want. Nothing has changed from the ancient to the modern day. This evening we will find the three groups of people who discarded the Word of God. King Jehoiakim, the people of Judah, and King Zedekiah. They made their choices and they faced the consequences. Start at the verse 8 of chapter 34. Let's pray. Father, we don't want anything from us because we have nothing to show for. We have nothing to glorify in us other than sinfulness that is forgiven by your mercy and grace. Father, it is our desire to know you, nothing else. We don't want to know another human. We don't want to know ourselves. We want to know Jesus. We want to glorify your holy name. Teach us tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8, please. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim the liberty to them. Every man should set free his male and female slave of Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now when all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed and let them go. But afterward, they changed their mind and made the male and female slaves return, whom they had set free, and brought them into subjection as a male and female slaves. Stop there, please. What happened? they, the people of Judah, from the kings to the mere peasant, had everything going for them before this happened. Remember, the Lord was their God, and He protected them and provided for them and whatever they need, and glorious heritage from Moses in the land where the land flowed with milk and honey. It was conquered by Joshua. It was handed to them. They didn't have to build a vineyard. Vineyard was there. They didn't have to make the orchard. Orchard was there. All they had to do was just occupy, worship God. And if that was not enough, King David, God used King David to make an enormous kingdom like never before. And then God allowed Solomon to build a splendid temple that anybody around that region would say, wow, beyond anybody's wildest imagination. However, all this great heritage could not stop them from ruining their tragic end. What did this king, their kingdom do so bad to cause this total decay? It's not because of the foreign invasion. God promised them that He would protect them from their enemies if they only obedient to Him. Remember, there's two types of promises, unconditional and conditional. This was a conditional promise. They didn't believe the word of God and the promise of God. Instead of relying on God, King Solomon, this is the biggest troublemaker. King Solomon chose to marry foreign princess to make an alliance with other idolatrous heathen kingdoms. He was relying on them for their national security over God's hand. He ignored the Lord's promise and discarded the word of God. Of course, Solomon's descendant, King Zedekiah, the last king, he was no different than his ancestor. He was hoping that Egypt would save their little behind from the hands of the King Nebuchadnezzar. Instead of repenting and praying to God, he sent out the delegation to the Egypt and asking them to come help him. In their desperation, the people of Judah made a covenant with the Lord to free all the slaves. And then you may say, why? Why would they do that? What's wrong with having slaves at that time? Well, if you have let's say, I'm Bob's slave, I'm a Jew, Jewish, and he's a Jewish, and he acquired me for 6 years. At 7th year, what's the 7th year? Sabbatical year. He has to release me, whether he likes it or not, without any debt, without anything that I have to pay to him. What did the Israeli do? They ignored it, as long as they could. And in their desperation, they said, okay, we will do this to earn a brownie point from God. Do you know why they also did? Because if they have a slave, if I belong to him, he had to, by obligation, he had to feed me. Remember, the food are very scarce. And that means that they could not afford to have another mouth in the house. So once they release the slaves, they are no longer in the obligation. Then why did they change their mind? Remember, they sent a delegation to Egypt. And Egypt, of course, they had to pay a lot of money for it. Egypt was coming. So King Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, we're going to take care of the Egyptian once and for all. He released the siege of Jerusalem and to confront the Egyptian army. And he demolished them. And the Egyptian army were like a dog, beat up dog, and tucked his tail in between the legs and ran away. And he came back. This time, King Nebuchadnezzar said, enough is enough. We're going to finish this place. And they were coming in. Why, you don't want me to have come stay at your home and eat your food?
Okay.
Chapter 35, please. Verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the man of Judah and inhabitant of Jerusalem, Will you not receive the instruction to obey my words? Says the Lord. And the word of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his son not to drink wine, are performed, for to this day they drink none, and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. But you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me. Verse 16, Surely sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. This event we just read happened 18 years prior to King Zedekiah. That happened in chapter 34. Remember, Bible is not written in chronological order. Don't ever think that Bible is written in chronological order. If that's the case, Job would be way behind King David. Book of Job is the first book ever written before Genesis. Rechabites were the clan of a nomadic people loyal to their ancestor Jonadab, who mentioned in the 2 Kings chapter 10. If you want to know more about them, read them. Speaking of nomadic people, if you go to Israel, as you travel from Jericho all the way on the highway and come around and going up, as you go climb up to the Jerusalem, you will find a lot of nomadic people. They literally living in the 21st and living in the tent with the cars, SUVs parked outside, and you can even see the antenna sticking up with a generator outside, TV antenna sticking up. They have all the luxury of the 21st century, but they choose not to go into the house because they are the descendants of Rechabites. Israeli people even build a house for them. Tell them, go into the house. This is your house, free housing. You know what these nomadic people do? They pitch the tent in front of apartment and put their goats and sheep inside of the apartment. They are commanded to not to live in the house, not to have a farm and a vineyard, or not to drink wine. They were related to the Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. For 250 years, composed a small, separate clan, nation. And because of a Babylonian invasion, they choose to come into the Jerusalem for the safety. The point of this message is not regarding Jonadab's clan is better, Rechabites better. These people were listening to the mere commandment from their ancestor, while rest of Jewish people were ignoring God's commandment. Which one is more important, God's commandment or a person's commandment? They are ignoring God's commandment. So how often were the believers of God shamed by the discipline of the devotion of the unbelievers for their intense loyalty to what they believe in? You see, I see atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness people, and many Islamic people are much more fervent and much more loyal to their causes and beliefs than many Christian born-again believers. If we put out that much effort and obedience and loyalty to the Lord and His Word, this world would be much different than now. Wouldn't you agree? You know, after we leave the service, I'm usually the last one to leave the dance center. As I pass Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, do you know there are still many cars out there? Their average service hours are 4 to 5 hours. And they study the Word of God average 14 hours a week. How many of you guys study the Word of God 14 hours a week? It will be hard to find, unless you are born at a pastor or some Bible teacher, it will be hard to find that many hours. Many born-again Christians don't even open the Bible daily. Alright, go to verse 1 of chapter 3, please. Chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of the Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, and saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it, and all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations. From the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sins. Stop there and jump down to the verse 20, please. And they went to the king into the court, and they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the word in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber. Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it get this, guys, and it happened when Jehudi had read the 3 or 4 columns, the king cut it with the scribe's knives and cast it into a fire that was on hearth, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all this word. Again, this event happened during the time of King Jehoiakim's reign. And yes, the Bible is not written in chronological order, as I mentioned. Did you notice what the Lord saying in verse 3? Go back to verse 3, please. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversity which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sins. What he's doing is he's providing every escape hatch in every possible direction for people to repent before they get destroyed, and because their own choice. Contrary to some people's idea that an angry God, his primary desire is to forgive our sins and save us from our own self-destruction. God doesn't send anyone to hell. Do you agree? We send ourselves to hell by our own choice. Hell is originally made for who? Angels, fallen angels, like Satan. But when people blatantly reject God's invitation, they dispatch themselves to hell eternally. keep your finger in Jeremiah, go to Hebrews chapter 10, where we're going to study next Sunday. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Oh, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. See, the Jehoiakim had to have an absolutely evil heart to do what he did. He was not the only one who tried to destroy the Word of God, but they all failed. Look around. The world is full of enemies of God. Unfortunately, many so-called Christians are joining them by compromising the commandment of God for the sake of popularity, acceptability, and whatever they have the sorry excuses are. People are willing to compromise the Word of God. Maybe some of your children and my children, do they know the Word of God? Yes. I've been a pastor for 14 years, and I was a lay pastor in prison for 12 years, 27 years. Did I not teach them Word of God? Yes. But several of them compromised. All those who are trying to compromise, ignore, and destroy the Word of God, forget this very important truth. Go to Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away. What does it say? But my word by no means pass away. In other words, they are fighting against the unbeatable for God, and trying to destroy the Bible once and for all, which is the eternal Word of God. They are messing with the wrong enemy. Okay, skip to chapter 37 of Jeremiah. Go to 38, please. Verse 5. Then Zedekiah, the king, said, look, he is in your hand, talking to the princes about Jeremiah. For the king can do nothing against you. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let the Jeremiah down in with a rope. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Jump down to the verse 14, please. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had a Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of this man who seek your life. Verse 19, please. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who had defected to the Chaldeans, or Chaldeans, whichever. Either way, you can pronounce either way. Lest they deliver it into their hand, and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said that they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. Stop there, please. If we went through what the Jeremiah did in his ministry, most of us would say, oh, heck with this ministry. I'm done. I'm out of here. What did he go through? How many converts did he have in his ministry? How many? None. You know, if I had no one got saved in 14 years, probably I would be discouraged. And if I had nobody coming to the Sunday morning service, I would say, maybe I missed the call. Maybe this is not my call. And not only that, if I get rejected by everyone, I preach the word of God and everybody laugh at me and walk away, and I would be discouraged. But this man stay in the course. For by now, he is the case of somewhere around 23, 24 years in the ministry. How can he stay so long in the same this lonely ministry? Because he was with God. I wonder what was going through Jeremiah's mind as he is in the middle of the mire. You know what the mire is? Thick mud. I'm sure it stenched badly. Inside of the well. Only thing you can see is a round thing or whatever. Sky. Nothing else. And most likely, he thought, this is the end. I'm dying here. Somehow, we have a false idea that if we are true in our service to the Lord, everything should go the way we want. And we should be treated well by everybody. Right? You're serving God with all of your heart, then everything should go well. You know, too much of the Word of Faith movement heresy teachers dismay, not all the men and women of God get to have a healthy and wealthy life. And they will say, well, we are healthy and wealthy. Yeah, because the reason why you are wealthy is because you are a con artist. They beg for money, and when the old ladies send us their social security check, they go out by Rolls Royce. Like a Clifford Dollar. You remember him? And $64 million Gulfstream jet. And stupid people will send the money so that he can buy one. Unbelievable. You know, I said this, but I will declare again. If they have that much faith, they say that they have a tremendous faith, so that's why God bless them so much. If they have a real faith, they should stop begging on TV. And they should just expect that God to provide, since they have that much faith. King Zedekiah has been appointed as a king of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar. After his cousin got killed, deposed, he got the throne. But he was nothing more than figurehead. The previous king's son, or the princess we just read, they are the one who actually have the powers. So that's why when we read this chapter 38, he didn't have a strength to stand up against the princess, prince. And he was a spineless figure. And leader. The Lord gave this spineless king one last chance to repent. He only made more excuse why he couldn't follow God. How many people do we know who made more excuses why they cannot or will not follow God than you can count? Many, right? They always have an excuse why they cannot go to church. They always have an excuse why they cannot accept Jesus Christ today. Like last Sunday, I knew there was a few, two or three people who never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I gave them an opportunity, as you were there. They didn't accept Christ. Do you know each time they reject God's invitation, their hearts get harder and harder? The Lord allows sinful nation to have the leaders whom they deserve. A couple of good examples are the King Saul and the President Obama. The ancient Jews wanted to have wanted to be like other kingdoms, to have a human king instead of God as their king. So they got one. Totally good-looking king, head and shoulders taller than anyone, flawless king, flawless-looking king. But he was disobedient and he was empty-headed. American people want to have, they bought this the line, change and hope they can believe in. Yeah, we got a few changes in our pocket. And our hopes are dashed. Not our hope, the people's hope dashed in. John F. Kennedy, I don't agree with that man, but he said this. The leaders people have, and the people they deserve. How true. People wanted to build Bill Clinton over George Bush. And they thought economy is good. Bill Clinton is wonderful. He didn't do anything that was right. What's his name? Barney? Barney Frank. Bill Clinton and Barney Frank practically made a false economy boom. Do you know that? They jacked up the housing market, which later crashed horribly. Yeah. They literally create a false economy. And my former son-in-law said he would vote Bill Clinton again for the second election. I asked him why. He said, because the economy is good. That's all he could think. So America deserved Bill Clinton. And America was dumb enough to elect Obama and re-elected him again. I thought, how dumb can you be? Only thing that I can think of is American people are spellbound. There's no other way to explain. Yep. Chapter 39, please. Verse 4. So it was then when Zedekiah the king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, and they fled and went out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. And he went out by the way of the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plain of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and Riblah in the land of Hamath, which is in Syria, so they have to travel far north, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Israel, king of Babylon, killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with bronze feather to carry him off to Babylon. The last thing he saw was the death of his own son. Jump down to verse 11, please. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave the charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. And go down to verse 17, please. But I will deliver you in that day, God speaking to Jeremiah, and you shall not be given into the hand of the man of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. the siege by the King Nebuchadnezzar started in 588 BC and finished in 586 BC, a little bit over 2.5 years. That's the time of Gentile had begun on God's prophetic calendar. When this period ends, are we living in the time of a Gentile? Yes or no? Yes, we are. When does time of a Gentile end? At the second coming of the Christ. When he comes, he will fulfill the promise made by prophets of God. Since the Lord promised to Jeremiah he would survive all the persecutions against him, he moved King Nebuchadnezzar's heart to take care of Jeremiah. Why did King Nebuchadnezzar decide that he's going to help Jeremiah? I'm sure King Nebuchadnezzar heard that Jeremiah told everyone in Jerusalem, do not resist King Nebuchadnezzar, just surrender to him, you'll live. I'm sure he heard that. So since he worked for him in his own mind, let him stay alive. Turn your Bible to the Proverbs chapter 16, please. 16:7. I quote this verse many times. Memorize it, please. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. The boss you don't like, the boss who doesn't like you, God can use him or her to bring the peace to you. How? I don't know. Wait for God. Two applications. Number one, the wickedness of man hasn't changed throughout history. We are not sinners because we sin, rather we sin because we are sinners from the birth. Amen? Second application, God's word is ever true, cannot be destroyed. Anyone who stands against it will perish. Do you think we recite this, the word of God, the absolute truth and final authority, just for fun of it? It's to remind us, this book has absolute final authority. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Word of God says. Amen?